space, so definitely a lot of theological thinking going on there. And another one was called The Gathering, which took place in LA. And I think Simon, Carl, and a few others asked me, said, "Oh, yeah, what's the one thing you come away from this conference or this trip?" And my response to that always has been like, "There's been heaps of stuff, but there's been one thing that I'm going to share this morning that I couldn't really shake. And this is this idea that came out of the Orange Conference, and it was based around this idea of yes, and saying yes. What is it going to take to say yes to the next generation? So this is what we're going to try to unpack a little bit today, which is going to be a bit of fun. So here we go. Let's see what we're up to on my notes here. So we're going to kick it off with a bit of discussion. This is kind of going to be, there's going to be some conversation happening here today. This is going to be more of probably of a conversation than it is going to be more about me kind of just blah, 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 and you guys sitting there taking in bits and taking in and not. So we're going to kick off with a conversation, just as we set up a few other bits and pieces to go on. And the conversation is going to be around this. So kind of every religion in the world has kind of like a set of beliefs, foundations, what you call. And what I'm going to ask you guys to think about now is what is our statement of faith? As Christians, what are our statements of faith? What are the big things that we hold true to that other religions, what separate us from other religions? Now, that's a very broad question, so I'm going to narrow it down for you, okay? I think if we go to the next slide, almost spelt right. Statements of faith about God, about the scriptures, about people, and about salvation. What do we as Christians believe about those four things? You can talk about one of them. So yeah, you're going to get a chance to get to know the person next to you. Have a go. Any ideas? Start talking. We're set up. Okay. Hey, Gabriel, Dave, can I get you to go around and to hand out a loom bag? To everyone. No, that's everyone. So just hand them like for the roses. Yeah, can you hand out? Yeah.
Are you going to pray to open?
Mm-hmm. Later on.
Okay. What do you want me to do with this?
Hand those out to people. You go hand those out. Yeah, Ben. Yeah, one each. Oh. Yeah, there we go. I don't know. Okay, make sure you guys got a rubber band. Kids are calling them loom bands. Everyone got one?
Yeah.
Yeah-ish? Good? Alrighty. Okay. See, everyone, it's really important you got one of these. Do you know what these are called? Tell the person next to you know. Loom bands. If you don't know these things, you know, they're the kind of latest rage going on. You can give it a bit of a test there. Very cool. Okay, so here we go. Can we check up the slide there? Alrighty, so here is an example of thing. This is pretty kosher, and the fact that I've copied it off, this is at our 252 curriculum. They have this at the start of, our material. So this is kind of where we go to. So if we read this, man, that's real small, eh? Like, if I'm back there, I'll probably be able to read it. So I'll read it out. So about God, God is the one and only true God, yet he exists in three persons. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. God is a creator, so everything belongs to him and is under his control. God is holy, so he is righteous, majestic, and loving. God is all-knowing and purposeful, so he's at work to bring about his will. No person, thing, or idea compares to God. About scriptures, God reveals himself to us through the Bible, and it is 100% accurate, reliable, and authoritative. About people, people are made in God's image and for his pleasure, but everybody falls short of God's intention or ideal for people. In other words, everyone has sinned. As a result, we are all separated from him, even though he wants an intimate relationship with each of us. I'm going real fast here, eh? I'm going to get some oldies at the end going, I can't hear ya! Anyway, sorry guys, about salvation. I'll slow it down a little bit. About salvation, that's why Jesus, God's son, came and lived on this earth, died and rose again. God offers his free gift of salvation to all who believe in Jesus and accept him as Savior. The only way to be forgiven and reconciled to God. Anyone who accepts this gift is adopted as a son or daughter into God's family and will live with him forever in heaven. So that's kind of a nice, concise concept there of our key foundation. So I put that up there because we're going to now talk about some this key concept that came out of this conference, which is the idea of tension and truth in tension. And we're going to have some conversations now, but I kind of need to frame how these conversations are going to go. Nothing that we're going to talk about that I'm going to bring up falls outside of this, okay? Because sometimes when we hear things, we go, oh my gosh. And so I'm going to, nothing's going to fall outside of this, okay? Can I put you to the next screen here? Woo! Yeah. And I don't know if you've had these experiences, but sometimes when we start talking about tension that exists within truth, something called anxiety wells up within us. And we can often, our response to anxiety is two things. It's fight or flight. Meaning one, sometimes when people say stuff that we're a little unsure of, or we think kind of counters what we believe, we pick up the stones and boom, man, we are at it. And the other option we have is kind of flight. We're just like, I don't want to know about it. We shut down. Both of those conversations pretty much end looking like that. It's like, nah, don't want to hear anything else you have to say. So I'm asking you guys as we head into this, that please don't do this. Just stay with me, stay with us as we grind through, because there might be a few things that might kind of spike and sound kind of crazy. Part of that could be me being tired and not articulating things well enough. But stay with it. And as you talk to one another, try to stay with the conversation as well. Put one other thing in here. Boom. Love this. My wife hates that, by the way. Saying boom. She's like, boom. Hate that. Oh, we're better. Boom. There it is. Right. Here's a good principle. When you're talking to one another, this is another good key. I hope I've done that grammatically. Seek to understand before trying to be understood. Does that kind of make sense? Again, the same kind of concept. Sometimes we hear something and we just want to smash it down, or we want to go, nah. Understand, oh man, where are you coming from with that, eh? Seek to understand before first trying to be understood. It's a good principle we use, definitely use teaching kids as well, but definitely applies to lots of things. Is that cool? Yeah, it's not actually going to be that crazy, but sometimes, we touch on these issues, people, so, all right. On that note, we'll pray, eh? Let's do that. So God, thank you we can be in this space today. And God, thank you that we can talk with one another, we can have conversations, Father, about what it means to love you, what your love means for us and for this world, Lord. And it's not everything here is not easy, Father. Part of you, we can come to know you, Lord God, but part of you is also a mystery. And sometimes in that, in wrestling with that, God, we can get tripped up on various things. God, help us through your Spirit, Lord, just to be open to what you want us to learn today. In your name we pray. Amen. Cool? All right. Alrighty, so I'm about to, where's Nomi? She's like my minion. Thank you, Nomi. Can you get me a glass of water? I'm actually starting to think. She's my sister. I can talk to her like that. It's okay. So I'm going to set the scene. Now, some of you guys have heard me talk about this, and it's a little bit doom and gloom. But the reality is, for our young people, they are leaving the church in an ever, kind of increasing trend. And it's not good. It's crazy. To give you some perspective, I've talked about this in the past, but here's the latest on this one. So this one came, a stat that came out of America, but we definitely do trail very much in sync with them. So 5 years ago, and this is talking about people just in general, 18% of American people aged between the age of 18 and 30 said they did not believe in God. Today, that has now increased to 33%. That sounded good, okay? So young people are becoming more and more disillusioned with God and the church. And we know that, and unfortunately this trend is just plowing through. So the question is, why? And obviously these are one of the key questions that are addressed at these conferences. Man, what is going on? How do we address this? What are some of the symptoms to this? And the one obviously that came out of Orange is this idea of a lack of tension. So I'm now going to chuck in another slide for you. Maybe it work. Boop, boop, boop. The question is this, and can you flip to the next one? Hey, okay, here's this great quote. It goes this. One of the key changes is this. Embracing truth without holding grace intention leads to harsh legalism, just as grace without truth devolves to compromise. Does that kind of make sense? So this is one of the kind of key tensions we're talking about here. And what I want to talk to the person next to you with, hope you found someone. If you're by yourself, it could be a lonely morning. No. Anyway, so if you can get into a group, it's good. Discuss a time when you have experienced one of these lack tension. Does that kind of make sense? You've been in an experience where, woo, that man's big on the truth but lacking on the grace. Or maybe another situation where it's probably been a little bit too much grace extended and not enough truth spoken into a situation. Again, this might be contentious a little bit, but they don't have to be. So, yeah, can you share? Have you experienced that ever? I don't know, maybe, sometimes. Maybe someone on a street corner going a bit too hardcore. I don't know. Have a go. Have a talk. Okay, righty. So, sometimes some of these might have, some things might have jumped to mind. I'd ask you to share, but that's probably just going to get me in trouble. And I'll have to unpack some crazy stuff. But yeah, I think some of us have experienced that. Been on the receiving end of something that's a bit maybe too harsh. Sometimes we tend not to admit to be on the receiving end of something that's a bit too gracious. But in other contexts, often we see it, particularly on, I think the thing that stands out to us quite often is the harsh side, the legalism. Sometimes you see people getting smashed around pretty bad and going, man, that ain't cool. But anyway, here's the kind of thing. There's this tension that exists, but this is not the only tension that exists between some of the truths we hold within our faith. It's kind of the core, and I'm just going to present a few of them to you now. But this is the bit where you're going to have to stay with me, okay? Because some of these I might not articulate well, and they might seem a bit crazy, but they're not. So, well, I don't think they are anyway. Here you go. So, first one, so truth, yep. And we've agreed with this. Truth is important. That is, absolutely. Knowing what is true in God's truth is a key thing. Now, let me see if I can go through my list here, so I have to pick them up. Righty. No. Here's the truth. We can know God. Hey, there is lots to know and discover about God and who he is, and knowing God is really, really important. I mean, part of what we do in turning up church and through teaching is knowing more about God, and that is awesome. That is an important truth, right? Knowing God? Yeah, we agree with that? Cool. Sweet as. Next one. You can become a Christian in a moment. Hey, just takes a moment. All we've got to do is pray to Jesus, ask for forgiveness, accept him as our Savior. That can be instantaneous. Correct? Truth? Yep, cool. Sweet as. The Bible is all true in the fact that we believe that everything in the Bible is inspired by God and is true. Correct? Yep, alrighty. So, how am I going here? We're down to Bible. Trust. Trusting in God helps grow our faith. You know, the more we trust in God, the more we understand how, you know, it's a thing. Trusting God is important, and the more we grow in Christ, the more we learn how to trust in him. That's also important. Cool. The church is important. And also, you know, it's our place of community. It's our place that we grow in. And the church should be a place that should be enjoyed. We should enjoy hanging out with one another. And God works powerfully through it. The church, yes. Cool, we agree on that one. This is going to fall over, by the way, at some point. So it's going to get nice and loud. So it's like a Leaning Tower of Pisa. I say boom, but I'm not because I'm getting in trouble. God has an ideal. In the Bible, God has an ideal for the way he wants us to live. And if we follow those ideals, if we follow those principles, it can lead us on to having a really healthy marriage, you know, awesome stuff. The way we base our, the God's ideal for us is awesome, and there are so many principles we need to apply in our lives. Is that kind of correct? Yeah, good? Got lots of ideals? We're on with me? Nice, easy. And, of course, I wonder if I put that out of order. Might have, but anyway. Oh! That wrecked my illustration. Yeah, boom, literally. Minion. Can you come up and restack those? Thank you, Naomi. What am I up to? Beliefs. Also, what we believe in God is very important. Our beliefs are central. They help us navigate and they form our identity. Our beliefs in God are very, very important. And what we know and come to understand about God. So, that's kind of cool. Naomi's going to restack those somehow in the right order. So that is kind of like one pillar of truths that we're all cool with. Okay? Most of us, hopefully. We've subscribed anyway. Now there's also this other side. Just like how on one side we have kind of like truth, there's also another thing to that, grace, we need to hold in tension. You know, you get that? They're both true, but they need to be held in tension. So here is the kind of tension we have to this one. So let's see if I can work this one out. Alrighty. We can know God and know lots about him, but God is also a mystery. Hey, like, you can't fully comprehend God. There are elements of God we'll never fully come to comprehend, and that's what makes God amazing. That's why we can't put God in a box. Hey, so we know God, but God is also a mystery. There are elements of God. There's wonder. Like, man, that's just awesome. Righty. Next tension here. Or next truth here, sorry. This is a nice one. That's great. Thank you, Naomi. Woo! Let's see if I'm tracking this. Did you stack them in the right way? Anyway. Yes. This is really confusing. Oh, yes, here we go. That's good. You've done well. It's true that we can become a Christian in a moment. And I've come to do this, but God has also called us to be a disciple, which is something that's going to take, you know, forever for us to work on. It's not just an instantaneous thing, is it? Being called to God is like following him forever, you know? So that is, pay attention there. Alrighty. And how are we going? We're plowing through here. And again, I'm just not going to muck my Tower, Leaning Tower of Pisa out, but I have gone to here. So, because I changed the word there forever. Life. Ooh, okay. This is an interesting one. The Bible is true. Okay. But also, everything that's true about life is not in the Bible. Now, let me unpack that a little bit. This is coming from people. Oh, it sounds a bit freaky, but this is awesome. Awesome. Try not to get into the thing. So, God has. Everything that's true about God is not in the Bible. In fact, when we look at creation is an awesome example. Science is forever trying to unpack what God created. And that's pretty amazing. Yeah, we're finding more and more things about God's greatness, his complexity, his, like, even the mysteries, and what science unpacks. Is that true? Yeah. Okay, so there's, but that's in there. I won't go into too much detail there, but anyway. So, and we're pointing through here, so we're down to this. Sorry, guys. I'd say talk amongst yourselves, but I've lost my train. What's this one say? Life. Life. So we're trying to find out trust. Okay. Trust can lead to a stronger faith in God, but so can doubt. That kind of makes sense? Because it's this concept of doubt, you know, having questions, wrestling with this whole ordeal can bring about a stronger faith. Some would argue if we don't have questions, we could ask questions about our faith, because there's stuff we need to wrestle with, eh? And we need to create spaces where people can ask questions. We need to know within ourselves it's okay to ask questions and wrestle with stuff. But sometimes those things can be in tension with one another. Alrighty, that one was doubt. The next one here. What is it? Church. The church is good and it's awesome, but you can enjoy also living in the world. Now, let me put this one in context before you go, wah! Sometimes some people get so carried away with the church, and it's like everything has got to be about the church that we lose sight of there are some elements in life that we can enjoy. To put this in context, I don't know if all of you agree with this, but it's okay to listen to sometimes non-Christian music. Okay? There's good music out there. Just because it's not all based around the church and it's not all theme, that's all right. There's elements there. It's okay to enjoy sport. Sport isn't necessarily in the Bible. I don't think it is. Not the thing, but these things are okay. And sometimes we focus so heavily on this that, oh no, if it's not directly all related around church, then, you know, we kind of lose sight of celebrating elements that are good. I mean, I love the Pope recently when he was all about the Soccer World Cup. I don't know if you heard about speaking to that and saying how, man, sport was awesome. It was a celebration of people coming together and, you know, celebrating good stuff. It's good. Sometimes we can get carried away with that. Righty, here we go. We're nearly there, guys, and the tower is still holding, which is awesome. I'm nearly there. Beliefs, ooh, people. Now I've had to reword this one a little bit. Beliefs matter, but so do people, okay? And we're going to speak about this a little bit. Sometimes, you know, if our beliefs cause us to treat people badly, then there's something wrong with our beliefs. Kind of make sense? Yeah. So people matter. We've got to hold these two things intention. And the last one I'm going to draw here is this, is God has an ideal, but God also uses broken people to tell his story. Okay? God has an ideal, but we don't have to meet that ideal in order to God to work through us. He uses broken people. He uses us. And they make reference to this, I don't know if you've heard about this, but you know, people often go to the there are some great parenting principles in the Bible, absolutely. But man, if you've ever taken a look at the families that exist within the Bible, particularly in the Old Testament, woo! Boom. I'll use that word again. I'm getting in trouble. But it is a mess, man. It is an absolute mess. But God still chose to use those people and tell his story. So here we kind of have, gingerly stacked, I'm going to hop off the stage because I don't want them to fall down, two kind of pillars of truth. And we need to kind of hold each of those in tension. And I'm going to need another drink of water. How am I going for time? Not too bad. Naomi, can you give me another glass? I'm sorry. Well, there is another one. Oh, that's awesome. It's not like somebody else has not meningitis. Oh. Mm. Now, here's the other thing that gets interesting, right? This was presented, these ideas were presented in an American context. And if you know the American church, which is a very interesting beast, they tend to pretty much sit pretty heavily on this side, okay? Well, the big boys do now, some a lot of the stuff. And so what's true for them as a church is not necessarily true for us. And see, all of us as groups of people and as individuals kind of tend to hang out on one side or the other. Not necessarily one side the whole way. And I'm going to give some illustrations here. You see, this is where I could get in trouble. So I'm going to try to be nice. One of the most contentious ones we're dealing with in this tension is the idea or the topic around sexuality. Now, this is massive. As you know, what's happening in the media, what's happening with churches, this is a really, really contentious issue. So I'm not going to enter into that in great detail, but I will enter into this. Would you believe here, when we talk about sexuality and the church, beliefs and people, have we got that one right as a church? Have our beliefs, not as us, but individuals, but how the way the church has treated particularly the homosexual community over time, hasn't been good, eh? Would you kind of agree with that a little bit? Like, man, like not good at all. And it is crazy. And almost, I mean, I'm reading some of these social commentators, almost part of the drive of the reason why that community and has had to stand up so strong against prejudice against them is because it's been driven by the church. Okay, the church is almost, without even knowing it, has kind of just ordained the stuff. It's gone crazy. So that is a tension, you know, and speaking into this. So I'll just give one illustration, a real cool illustration of how this might like work if we did this well in tension. This guy called Tony Campolo, he spoke here once, awesome dude, awesome social commentator, spoke into this, and he went to a university in America, a Christian university, and to kind of give you some context in America, obviously, the homosexual community has been big and it's been alive for a long time. But now, some of these people are now, but heading into the age of retirement for them, okay? So the retirement, they're getting old, and some of these guys are sick and they're not healthy, and it's not good. But in America, in the current system, there's actually no place for these people to go to, okay? The retirement homes, they don't want them. They don't want to embrace these people. They're afraid of them. And they're afraid of the issues, and that, you know, there's so much stuff going on. So Tony kind of addressed this issue and said, hey, how do we respond to this in this context, you know? And there's a group of these students within this university that said, that is wrong. That should not take place. And despite what they believed, they didn't necessarily believe in their beliefs, they started a charitable trust, and they made up the first home for homosexual men to retire in, to have space in it, to be treated with dignity. Is that pretty cool? You see what I mean? And man, that's pretty powerful. And they continue to fund that. They've gone in there and they work in that space. And they don't chuck this stuff down their throats. They say, hey, we're here, our primary here is to love you. If you want to speak it, to talk about Jesus, absolutely, man, we want to do that. But we're here to love you, okay? So that's an example of, I think, a real cool example of tension. I'll just speak to one or two more things. So this, you know, it kind of resonates for all of us. And sometimes it flicks on the other side. For us, in my generation, we kind of get sometimes a little bit too carried away with this, I think, personally. Sometimes we run so far from the idea of ideals, that God has ideals, and so we become so comfortable with the fact that God can use us as broken people that we no longer have to deal with our mess. But man, I'm broken. Got my addiction going on, got my stuff, you know, all that kind of stuff. And but that's okay. God's okay with me. I don't have to change because God can still use my story where I'm at. Whereas kind of God wants to use your story through the process of redemption, not just staying where we're at, eh? He wants us to still head towards this direction. And so we kind of lose tension. And, you know, all these kind of tensions exist. I mean, here's another one. you can know God in a moment. This is quite a little bit contentious here. Some churches have got so big on this about becoming a Christian, giving your life to Jesus. You know, it's all about numbers. Boom, boom, boom. You go to camps. Oh, 50 kids gave their life to Christ. But they kind of forgot about this, discipleship. The whole idea that it's not just a decision, it's committing our lives to Christ. And therefore, they've got so big, the kids who come out of this kind of environment then get confused. Well, why isn't my life fixed? I've gave my life to Jesus. Why isn't everything okay now? I mean, that's what you said it was, wasn't it? You know what I mean? Because we kind of went big on this and not so hot on this. So, next discussion. Da-da-da. Can you roll that through? Da-da-da. Have you seen a lack of tension in any of these areas in your experience? Does any one of these jump out with you? Talk to the person next to you. Yep. Oh, it's okay. It's not too bad, Okay, alrighty. So, there you go. Hope you had some interesting discussions around there. So, just give it a little context about this as well. This was presented to us. Obviously, we're leaders in what we teach. Okay, so we're critically looking at this and how we teach kids in the context of this tension. The reason why we're discussing this together with us is, of course, the most powerful way we teach or the most powerful way things are passed on is by how we live. So it's not a tension that just needs to be held with those who are up on stage or those who are giving messages. We bleed this stuff, okay? We might not think about it, but it bleeds out, man. And that's what gets picked up. So here we go. Now, here's the fun bit. I want you to pick up your rubber band, if you've still found it. Sorry, Lois, if these go everywhere. I'll be caroling. Alrighty. Righty, guys. I want you to take this rubber band, and I want you to throw it at the person really hard. I want you to hit him with this rubber band. Let's do it. Oh, somebody misunderstood. Okay, ready? And now, this is the fun bit, guys. And now, I want you to put this rubber band between your fingers. We got to pick it up. Come on. That's fun. Sorry, guys. Sorry. I didn't think we'd go that far. Man, you're an amazing throw. If you can throw this thing far. Have you got it? You're going to miss out on the fun part. Okay, next thing, I want you to grab this rubber band. You know where I'm going here. Put it between your two fingers. Oh, yeah. Put it up next to the person's arm. And here we go. not throwing it. Never point it at me, Lisa. Simon. Okay, so. There you go. You get what we're trying to hit at here is an illustration. Alrighty. And what we're trying to get out here, guys, is this. When we remove the tension from the rubber band, we take away the energy. We take away our influence, and we can diminish the truth when we take these things out of tension. You know, sometimes groups of people get so caught up on the say. Like you might have a group in the church who are so like, man, we need more truth. And they kind of rally around themselves, and another group in the church might say, hey, we need more grace. And sometimes churches will split over these things. And a whole group of people, they say, no, there's not enough truth. And they'll set up their own little truth church. And there's another church over there, no, we need more grace. And they'll head over and they'll start up another church that's probably around grace. But both churches are missing something. Hey. Both churches are missing something. So, you see, because sometimes we think by, we think by diminishing one thing, it's kind of not do justice to the other. By, we look at, we've got truth and love, grace, those type of things. When we kind of go light on one side, I don't know, it just gets messy. And here's the greatest and the other most tragic thing about this when it comes to particularly our young people, is sometimes when we live our lives and we say, like, no to this side, or we say no to this, what actually happens is they not only say no to this, they also say no to this. Because it's not held in tension. And when it's not held in tension, it loses its base with reality. It no longer becomes real. And we have a problem. There's a quote. So this is kind of the tension we're faced in. What is the tension? So here are the three things I want us to go away with, okay? Number one, broke my band. Sorry. Number one, we need to understand the tensions, and we understand what is great on both sides. We need to understand what are these tensions that exist within our church, within our faith. And for some of us, we might not be aware of them. I mean, we live in a strange world at the moment, particularly in our faith as well. I mean, Bible Society of New Zealand recently released the stat that the average Christian, I think it's 6% of Christians now read their Bible on a regular basis. I mean, when we're getting out of touch with a lot of stuff, eh? And the more we get out of touch with the Bible, the more we get out of touch with church. I mean, Mick spoke of this last week. Our attendance, what we think is normal now, is just radically depleting. The more we come out of touch with this, we need to know what the tensions are. And the next thing is we need to understand what is really good about both sides. Because some of us are really good on this, man. We understand this, and it's great, and we embrace it, and that is good. It's awesome. But we don't really have a good understanding about what's going on over here, or vice versa. Sometimes we just put our fingers in our ears, and sometimes we go, it's not important. This is good, man. This will make sense to me, or this will make sense to me. That stuff isn't important, but we lose tension. So number one, we've got to understand the tensions. And the next one, which is kind of leading on, number two, is we've got to reflect on where we as individuals are up with this. We've got to start thinking, where do I stand on this, and where do I stand in this part? Are there areas of my life that, man, I need to start thinking about? Which kind of leads us to the next thing, number three, is having the courage to stretch. And that's the toughest bit, eh? Like, man, we might be really comfortable on one side or the other because, you know, it all makes sense to us, but to have to go out here and kind of wrestle with this, it's not that easy. Or we might be really comfortable with this, but to go out here and start wrestling with this stuff in order to hold tension is going to take us outside of our comfort zone. But we need to have the courage to do it. We need to have the courage to do it. And the good news is, in our space, in our community, we have people who are helping us in that direction. Mick is a great example of that. you might understand, but Mick often definitely holds, when he's talking about this, holds these things in tension. We just need to link in with that. Wilson, I know, man, the model he is using with our youth at the moment is awesome. It's amazing. It is so well thought through. It is big on this, holding this tension. How do we navigate through this? And in my field, what I'm doing with our young children as well, we're trying to look, what does this look like in context with what I'm teaching our kids, to make sure we're not setting our kids up for failure in this world where things don't make any sense for them. So I'm going to end with this. This is this guy here called David Kidman. He wrote this book, Unchristian. And he talked about this whole idea of tension. He said, young outsiders and Christians alike do not want cheap, ordinary, or insignificant life, but their vision of present-day Christianity is just that. Because at the moment, often we kind of side on one either side. And because we do, our tension diminishes. But here's the kind of stuff that bites a bit. See, they deserve something better. But unlike any previous generation, they will not give us the time to get our act together. If we do not deal with the unchristian-like faith, we will have missed our chance to bring deep spiritual awakening to a new generation. The reality is our kids live in this world. They're trying to navigate through this stuff. And unlike our generation, like never before, the issues that are confining them through the amount of information that is now bombarding them, this stuff is ever more present in their world. There are more questions. They can't escape them. As a teacher, we are taught that it's a good thing to teach our kids to ask questions. Inquiry learning. What's going on? How can you make sense of that? I mean, this is how our kids are wired, to try to navigate through life. And they need answers. And I was talking to Wilson about this, and he said, I think I'm not quite right, but he said, our kids are exposed to so much more knowledge than we ever were, but they lack the wisdom to navigate it. They lack the wisdom to try to figure out what this means. And another bit of bite, the question for us is, do we have the wisdom to navigate through what some of this stuff means? Are we taking the time? And this goes back to what Mick was saying last week. Are we taking the time? Are we going to our discipline? Are we reading the Bible? Are we keying into this stuff? Because we need to get there first. Can we navigate through this? It's not easy. I mean, I'm on this journey big time, man, forever, just wrestling with some of these things. Because our kids, we need to go with them into the next generation. It's no longer, we can't do this to our kids. Because we'll lose them. We need to go on the journey with them. And it's not a comfortable journey. But then again, when we look to the New Testament in particular and look at Jesus and the disciples, was that a comfortable journey for them? Were his disciples ever just rolling around, man, I got that down, Jesus? That makes heaps of sense. They're forever going, I don't understand. Why are you doing this? And they continually had to wrestle with those truths. We are called to wrestle with truth as well. But sometimes it's easy for us just to hang out on one side. So there we go. I hope this made some sense to you this morning. I hope I haven't offended someone by any misunderstandings, but this is what we're called to, guys. So let's just pray on this. God, help us, first of all, to understand our faith more, Lord. Sometimes through the busyness of life and through the culture we are immersed in, we lose track of the tension that exists in our faith and in our life. But just because we lose track of it doesn't mean it does not exist. It exists, and it certainly does for our younger people as well. Lord, make us aware of those tensions, Lord. And Father, help us to have the courage to hold things in tension, to go into areas and explore areas where perhaps previously we thought is just too hard. We don't understand. Help us hold our faith, Father, in tension, so that we may be a people who can pass our faith on to our next generation, Lord. Father, that they wouldn't be lost out there trying to navigate this world without your wisdom. God, it's hard, it's not easy, and it definitely gets messy. But God, help us say yes to the mess that's out there. Father, help us enter into this new world with our young people. In your name we pray, amen. Cool. So, on that note, if Dale can get up and do a song, that'd be awesome.